Hey, this is Eric.
And this is Justin. This is the last installment, episode number 12, of our review of Nine Inch Nails' album Hesitation Marks. We're going to tackle the last two tracks on this one. Track number 13, While I'm Still Here, and then the minute and a half long instrumental track, Black Noise, which I'm of the opinion, my first thought is, I don't feel like it needed to be two tracks.
I don't think I knew that it was two tracks until you said, we should do the last two together because they're almost the same song, and I was like, two?
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, there's the song
but he's been
fades
doing,
out.
But he's been doing that kind of stuff throughout the whole album where, like, the first half of the song and the second half of the song are
totally
in diametric opposites of each other.
Right, right. I like the track. I think it's, like, a nice and quiet way to kind of, like, bring the album down. Here's my thought. I think it's a good song to go out on. I think it's like, you know, it's bringing down this second half, which, like, honestly, like the last, you know, we were talking about the last half of the album is really kind of intense, so it's like a nice, like, calming down. But it's, I don't think it's necessarily an entirely memorable song to go out on.
I know what you mean. I mean, obviously, like, the hook isn't there and all the noise and that kind of a thing. But
yeah.
Here's sort of, like, visually what the song feels like to me.
Okay.
It's in a way it's almost like an incantation or something where it's like it starts out and it's pretty simple and it's got like that rhythm track that kind of reminds you of some of the stuff from Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yep.
Some of that nice percussive element,
right.
Which I love the fact that he's incorporated that song,
yeah,
some of that stuff into it, because, you know, like the soundtrack work and like even like Ghosts. Well, the soundtrack stuff you can listen to a little bit more freely than I think Ghost. Ghost is hard to just, like, sit down and, like, I'm going to listen to Ghosts 4 all the way through or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that kind of, like, a listening experience. So I'm glad that he's bringing some of that percussive stuff into it. But it's, like, for me, it starts out and it's very much him. And it's him singing and there's, like, this beat that's going on. And it's very isolated and it's very dark. And it's... I feel like he's, like, at the precipice of something. You know, like, this whole album beforehand, he's been talking about the past, and he's been experimenting with the future, and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I feel like in this song, it's, like, just him, and this loop is going on, and then as it slightly starts to bleed through, there's that... the way that it builds is really nice. There's, like, different elements that are kind of brought into it, and I'll have to talk about the... little slippery guitar part in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But when that horn part comes in,
yeah,
that sax part,
yep,
I love that because it's such a shift. And because if you're a fan of Reznor, you know that he played sax in
right.
high school marching band and all that kind of stuff. And what, you know, if
right.
you saw him on the tour with David Bowie and saw him play saxophone, like, it just kind of brings up a whole lot of interesting things. And I feel like at that moment, things sort of pull back a little bit more and you're seeing a little bit more of the stage and you're seeing a curtain even, and as the song continues to build and kind of segues into the next song, it's like the curtain is opening and you're not just seeing like the back of the room like you expect to, or you maybe think that you're seeing the back of the room at first until you realize that you're seeing beyond it, and it's just like, it's just humongous and it's just this huge, like, anything could happen and anything will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, it's like the restaurant at the end of the universe or
right.
or something. You know, it's just like it really starts in such a very specific, very tight place, and the way that it expands out.
Yeah.
Even though it's not memorable as like the ending to an album that's kind of covered a lot of space.
Right.
Or covered a lot of, you know, topics or whatever. It's more like, this isn't the end. Like, this is just this is just where I am right now.
So that's interesting, because the way that I was trying to interpret the track was that it was the bookend of, it was the end of the album. And you're saying that you interpret it more as a beginning.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And every time the song ends, every time this album ends, I think that there's another song that's going to come. Like, literally, almost every time I've listened to this album, like, if I'm listening to it with headphones on, if I'm listening to it in the car, like, plugged into my iPod,
right,
I pick it up and look at it. Because I'm like, why is the last song playing?
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's, like...
Right.
There's right. something that's coming next.
Yeah. Although, I will say, like, I agree with you, because in my note, I was like, whoa, horns. You know? I was like, that's...
Man, I love your...
My
notes. Your notes are so, like, man, they're just so deep.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I mean, like, I'm just doing it, like, as a place where, you know, whoa, horns. It's just a way for me to remember the shit. But, and that part of it stuck with me. I was like, you know, that I will, you know, that part is very memorable. I will be able to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's... I mean, I don't want to say it's like too little, too late for at that point in the song, kind of a thing. But it would be a shame if that song gets remembered, if I remember that song because of the horns. The horns are a great part.
Right.
It's a great addition to it.
Right.
And I think, like, and actually with this track, I've never disliked it, but like it's grown on me more the more I've listened to it, because it, you know, it does signal. For me, I haven't had the problem of like where it's like, oh well. What's next? Like, I know, like, that kind of like marks the end of the album for me.
Mm-hmm.
But just not in necessarily like, and now of course, like, I'm comparing it to, you know, I mean, fuck, like, you know, Hurt is such a, it's an album ender, and not only is it an album ender, I mean, like, Reznor plays that song last live every time for a reason, you know.
Well, that's because he's playing tribute to Johnny Cash, who wrote the song,
right? Yeah, Johnny Cash, right. And did you see what I said on Facebook? That I was like, I love Reznor's cover of Patsy Cline's Wish. Because nobody sang fist fuck like Patsy Cline. I mean, Reznor does a good, you know, it's good, but it's no, he's no Patsy Cline.
Well, I understand what you mean about like the song. There isn't like a memorable hook to it. And there isn't like a traditional type of chorus or anything.
Yeah, it's a good tune. Yeah. It's a good track.
And I almost think that maybe it's like maybe we're just supposed to focus on the lyrics.
Yeah, maybe.
And just what he's saying.
Right.
And how it builds and kind of. Right. You know.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a subtle. It's definitely a subtle song, which I love. Like, you know, I am the kind of guy who's like, I mean, like I love like, you know, loud and fucking full of energy, and you know, I love that stuff too, but like I like those songs that kind of like come in and are kind of like a whisper, and you kind of don't really pay attention to them, but you know every bit of them, you know, every second, every beat and every lyric.
Mm-hmm.
But this just hasn't become that for me. It's kind of somewhere in between. Yeah. So, but who knows, I mean, like over time it may very well, you know.
What else you got in your Keanu Reeves inspired notebook?
Isn't that horrible?
Whoa.
Whoa. I was like, yes, exclamation point. No, with Black Noise.
Don't hear a writer.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that sad? Isn't that the fucking worst? With Black Noise, I mean, like, it's, I mean, what can you say? It's just, it's got good sounds. I mean, it's like, you know, it serves its purpose.
Well, I think too, like, you know, if you see as much live music as we've probably seen over the years, like, you've seen, I don't know how many bands you've seen that have done this, but I've probably seen 30 different bands that end their set by leaving their volume knobs turned up and, like, their guitars leaning against the speakers, and, and out of, like, those 30 bands that have done that, there are maybe two of those bands that I believe that, and that I feel that noise, and that noise does something to me.
Right.
And the rest of them, it's an affectation.
Yeah, for sure.
And this ending of this album is one of those moments that, even though it is just noise, it means something and it does something to me.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a rare thing to do for just like something without melody, something without whatever. And I when things like that happen, or like when something really twisted happens in a movie, or you know, like you're seeing a band play and they're just like nailing things, and it's just kind of, on one hand it's wrong. Like my facial expression when that happens is my nose starts to curl up like a little bit, like almost like a mad face. Yeah. But then like the edges of my mouth are smiling, because it's just like, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, that's it. Like, it's just like that.
Right.
It's that perfect moment that you're in something. And, you know, sometimes there's goosebumps along with that too, but it's just like, you're never more in sync with something. And this has that kind of feeling to me. Like, I haven't had that pure experience, because I feel like that only really happens to me in a live setting. But I could see if this song has that kind of power live,
right,
that I would totally like, because it's also one of those things where it's like the other people that are standing around me are not getting this the way that I'm understanding it and the way that I'm feeling it, and that's part of that like perverse enjoyment of it, I guess.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You know, it's funny. I want to kind of go back to what you were saying about ghosts, because I really grew to love ghosts, because I would listen to ghosts, both discs, like over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because before like any of the soundtrack or score stuff, that was the only, when I write, I can't write to stuff that has lyrics, and I definitely can't write to stuff that has lyrics that I know.
Right.
So with ghosts, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of like, I'm trying not to veer too off the path, but like I'm trying to compare it to like the end of this, you know, to what's happening at the end.
Do whatever you gotta do, man.
Both ghosts, like I know that album, those two discs, like very, very well, because I listened to it like on repeat a million times over.
Mm-hmm.
And but at first, the way I felt about it was kind of like, oh, this just kind of all like blends together. It's not really, there's nothing, nothing stands out. It's not, you know.
Right.
But over time, I grew to know it like so well, like so for, you know, forward and backwards, not backwards, I think, although it would probably sound cool. that, you know, I really fell in love with it because I grew to know it so much. And I feel like with this, even though it's like only a minute and a half, and actually really the last track is only a minute of actual, like, new noise.
Yeah.
There are, like, hints of ghosts in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it could be something that I could grow to love. But, like, I guess what I'm saying is I wish that that last minute and a half, 30 seconds of which is really the end of the song before it, I really wish that that sound had been expanded into its own. Like, if you're going to go out on that, give me 5 minutes of that.
Yeah.
Or 4 minutes of that. And make it its own thing rather than just kind of like this tacked on 30, 60 seconds of the song that came before it.
Yeah, but see, in my opinion, like, I feel like it's that length because it leaves you wanting more.
Well, of course. I always want more. More, more. We want more.
I mean, if it went on for like 5 minutes, like, you know, minute one, you'd be like, yeah. Minute two, you'd be like, is this really still happening?
I guess.
Like,
but
minute
like,
three, you'd be pissed off.
But it goes back to what you were saying about like how when they end a show, you know, when how bands, you know, certain bands end a show and they just, you know, they end it with noise just to have it be noise. Noise for the sake of noise. There's no real point in it. It doesn't even necessarily connect with anything that you just witnessed for the last hour and a half.
Right.
But with Nails, like whenever, you know, Trent ends a show with Hurt, or, I mean, I think literally every time I've ever seen him end a show, he ended it with Hurt. Even when I saw him with Bowie, I think the last song they did together was Hurt. Oh shit, where was I going with that? Oh, at the end of Hurt, it's not just like he plays Hurt and then he, you know, there's always like that kind of like coming down sound.
Yeah.
You know? And it's its own, I mean, it is still a part of Hurt, but it's It's its own kind of thing. And actually, he does it less now than I think he used to, actually. I think, like, it used to be kind of like back when he was touring for Downward Spiral and stuff like that. Like, there was this whole, it felt like coming down from the actual physical act of performing. But it always felt like it was its own kind of thing, and it wasn't just, like, tacked on for the sake of extending a show by, like, 3 minutes or whatever.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, he's always controlled, like, the beginning of the show and having, like, the intro and all that kind of stuff. And I think that if you think about it in that way, like, it makes sense on this album because he's got, like, that little intro.
Right.
He's got this little outro. Yeah. But you're saying that it's just not enough for you?
Yeah, I just want... I mean, and that's the greedy part of me. You know, I do want more. So... When do you think we'll get the next album?
Tomorrow. No. I don't know. Do you think Nine Inch Nails is, like, his day job again? Or do you think that it's... Do you think
scores?
He'll, like, come back, you know? It sounded like this isn't going, like, even though he's got a kid and other people in the band have kids.
He's got two kids, I think.
It doesn't sound like they're doing, like, a short little tour to make sure that they can be home for helping with homework. Like, it sounds like it's a long-haul thing, so...
Yeah.
If it's anything like past tours, this could be a year, two-year gig.
Yeah.
And will he take that momentum, or will he take, you know, while he's out on the road, will he be recording?
Trying different stuff. Yeah. And also, did the recording of these give birth to some other stuff that maybe necessarily won't, you know, make it on the next album, but is...
Well, if you listen to that Amazon or the iTunes interview thing, there's like 4 songs on there that didn't make it on the album that he plays, at least snippets of, if not the full thing. Like, nothing with lyrics, but...
Yeah.
Musically.
Was there stuff in there that you were like, oh, shit, I wish I...
There was some stuff that was pretty cool. Like, I would love to hear, like, him add vocals to it and see what else goes on. I still would love to see, you know, like, I feel like if we're talking about the future of Nine Inch Nails now, I would love to see him, you know, Nails has always been Trent and whoever's, you know, helping him with sound. And he did this with How to Destroy Angels. He, like, created a band and had that band be part of something. I would love to see him fold Nine Inch Nails into a full, real band. Like,
yeah.
It'd be interesting to hear what Robin would contribute on guitars if he was co-writing stuff. It'd be interesting to hear what, what's it, Alessio...
Oh, yeah.
Corzani or whatever his name
is.
To hear, like, what he would bring to the band.
Right.
You know, obviously Atticus brings a ton to the recording process. And he was a full-fledged member of How to Destroy Angels.
Yeah.
But is strangely not a member of Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... I don't know.
I mean, I just think that Nails is... you know... Kind of like with Mary Queen, you know, I think it's like something, it's safe to bring other people into those things because it's not Nails.
Right.
You know.
And in that way of thinking of things, like, what would a Trent Reznor solo album sound like? A, would he ever do one?
Right.
You know, B, would it just be sort of another facet of, like, the Nine Inch Nails kind of thing?
Yeah, and is every Nine Inch Nails album
a Trent Reznor
essentially
solo?
Trent Reznor solo album?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, brings in people to, like, add different elements to it.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking, Trent, because you're listening. We would really like to see you do something with Mike Patton.
Yeah.
So, if you could do that, if you could make that happen for us, that'd be great. And Mike Patton, since you're listening too, if you could do something with Trent, that'd be great.
And Anthony Kiedis, if you're listening, kill yourself.
Oh, he's somewhere crying. You know where he is? He's under the bridge downtown.
Where I slashed my wrists. I hope you've enjoyed this.
This is fun. Oh, what was the question? Thing?
Oh, yeah, we got a question.
All right. Let's see, how many minutes do you think we're at?
23.
Ooh, 20. Yeah. All right, let's try and do this quick.
This is kind of like the wrap up for.
Yeah. This song. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick a song, I have three because all for different reasons.
Okay.
You know what song I've always loved? Well, I'll go backwards. I mean, Wish is a great song. Yes. It's just a great song.
It is.
You know? And it's just so, like, you're here in my world.
And you might not make it out alive.
And you know... you know what's funny? So, when... The first time I ever saw Nails was in 93? What was Downward Spiral?
Came out in 93.
93, 94, whatever. It was that tour, and... They, you know, the lights went out, and Trent came up behind the screen, and you saw a silhouette, and it was like Pinion started playing, you know, and everything. And I remember everybody just went fucking ape shit, and I was like right down front and center, and I remember thinking to myself, this sounds so stupid, but I remember thinking to myself, it a completely 100% serious, you know. Being completely serious, I might die tonight, and I'm okay with it. So,
yeah, how many times do you have that experience where, like, you know, rock music is supposed to be dangerous, and how many times have you truly had that feeling where you're like, this is scary? Like, if this song gets out of control, everyone is dead.
Right, yeah. I mean, people were, you know, passing out from, like, heat exhaustion and stuff, and... It was just such, I mean, like, you know, I was 17 or whatever. It was fucking, just an amazing time. Okay, so I love Wish because, and I love Pinion. I always kind of feel like Pinion's the intro to Wish, so, you know.
Yeah.
So that, I love that. I've also always loved Reptile because I remember hearing Downward Spiral in its entirety, and like Closer had already kind of like, you know, had it, you know, you knew the lyrics of Closer and it was no longer shocking or whatever, but.
Right.
Reptiles. She spreads herself wide open to let the insects in. And I just remember being like, oh my God! She spreads herself wide open to let the insects in. Of course she does. Like, just, that's so fucking deep and amazing, you know? And just being so fucking blown away by it. And just like, amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And then the last one I would say, and I can't pick between these three. But I also love, for a totally different reason, I Do Not Want This on Downward Spiral because there's that poem, Bamboo, how does it, fuck, it, I, th- okay, so let me back up. The reason I love that is because I used to, my freshman year at CCAD, I would listen to that album over and over and over and over, so 94. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, what are they saying? What are they saying? You know, and in the lyric book, Trent's lyrics were there, but that poem was not a part of it.
Yeah.
And I remember going through and I would write down words in a notebook, like what words I heard, and then I would try and piece it together. Mm-hmm. And after listening to it like 30 fucking times, I finally had the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, and it felt like a puzzle to me, you know? Like, you had to work for it. Like, you had to figure out what this was. Now you can look it up online, but back then, that didn't exist.
Right.
And I just remember, like, it was like a song that I felt like I had to work for. Yeah. Which was just so... It became personal, you know?
Yeah.
So those would be my three. Reptile, I Do Not Want This, and Pinion Wish. You know.
Yeah.
What about you?
Man, that's hard.
I,
I feel like, I mean, I feel like of all the albums, the one that contains my most favorite songs is Broken.
Yeah. That album is just great. Every ounce of it is great.
Yes.
I mean, so is Downward Spiral, but like, what's great about Broken is that it's great in a, it's like the best fucking appetizer you've ever eaten.
Yeah.
It's immediate, it's, you know, it's brief. It comes and it just punches you in the dick and then runs away laughing.
Yeah.
Like, that's that album.
That album and, like, the Sap EP by Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
And Errors EP.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Errors. Those are probably the only three EPs that are worth my time.
Wow.
And Error was Atticus Ross with
right.
his brother. Like, so good precursor to some of the work that he did with Nails.
Yeah, but, that's right.
Yeah. What is the... I'm totally blanking on the song, but it's the one that goes...
The kind that hurts the most.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite song.
That song's great.
That's probably my favorite song.
Forgot how it feels.
Well, because there's that, those messed up backup vocals.
Yeah, it's so good.
And when the first time I saw Nails, it was. I was in a place where you were like, you were in seats. And the seats were bolted down. And it was like Palace of Auburn Hills is where I saw them.
Oh, I thought you were going to say an Arby's.
Palace of Arby Hills, yeah. But even that, like being in a seat and being in an environment like that,
yeah.
it still felt dangerous. Yeah. And every line, someone would throw their microphone down. So the whole time, the whole thing, you're going, boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
boom. Just the microphones hitting the ground because they're throwing them everywhere. There's like three guys that were running out and setting the mics back up. They're just like covered in cornstarch
yep.
and yeah, dangerous.
Yep.
Like, again, it's one of those things where like you can count on your hands like how many times you've been in a situation with music where it's felt dangerous.
Right.
And almost every time that I've seen Nine Inch Nails, I've felt that to some degree.
Yeah. Even as we get older, I feel it still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of it is because, oh, if I get into a mosh pit, my bones are going to break because they're made of dust.
My hip is going to go out.
Although the last time I saw Nails, I had to get somebody in a chokehold because they tried to crowd surf on top of an area that wasn't crowd surfable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great. You know, not to make this any longer than it already is, but at this point, who cares?
Yeah, if you're still listening, you're glutton for punishment.
Yeah, The first time I saw Nails, now that I'm remembering, it was in Columbus, Ohio. It was in November 90... I guess it would have been 94. Now I think about it, because I didn't move to Columbus until like August 94. And it was the show that Reznor's dog died at.
Mm.
He didn't perform an encore. But what was crazy about that was it was like in an auditorium or whatever, and they had folding chairs all throughout the, like as far back as it went.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't bolted down. They were just like folding chairs. So fucking, you know, lights go down. And everybody's just like, let's go. We fucking storm up and people are just fucking throwing metal chairs like up in the air.
Yeah.
And people are getting fucking beat. And Reznor actually stopped the show and he's like, hey, you know what? And I think he said something like, I told these fucking idiots, they asked if, you know, they told me they were going to do chairs, and I told them they shouldn't. So everybody just calm down, pick up the fucking chair at your feet, pass it to the person next to you, and he stopped the show and made everybody put the chairs around. But I just remember being like, we're going to die. We're
going to die. You probably would have if those chairs would have been circulating yeah. the whole time.
Yeah, right. That was, Marilyn Manson was the opener. And nobody knew who he was, and everybody booed him, and he called us all faggots. And and then I remember he had like a dildo, and Twiggy like sucked the dildo's dick. Or, I can't remember all of it, but Jim Rose was the opening act for.
Oh, yeah.
So it was Jim Rose,
yeah,
Manson, and then Nails. And then I saw him again like 2 months later, and it was Jim Rose, Pop Will Eat Itself.
Yeah.
And Nails. Oh, those were the good days. Good old days. I had hair. It all seems so new to me now. Now it's like I'm like a fucking like veteran with all this shit. And I'm like, it's still exciting. And that's what's great about this new album is like to bring it all back around. You know, I'm like, I still feel like as like excited and giddy for it as I did like the first time.
Yeah, so. Totally. Yeah, I can't wait to see what this show is going to be like.
Yeah, it should be good.
What they'll play live, yeah.
I know. And now, like, everybody will be, like, in wheelchairs, and they'll throw them all around.
Right.
And Reznor will be like, I told him not to let wheelchairs in this concert. What?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for suggesting this, Eric. This is fun. I'm glad we did it. I put on the first thing that I just posted, I said, I still believe that reviews are bullshit because I don't really believe that anybody's opinions really matter. But it's still fun to put them out there.
Yeah. That's true.
Especially when you don't got to type them.
Yeah, I was also amazed that we were able to not talk about this album up until the moment that we hit record.
Yeah, that's true. So that's absolutely true. All right, well, maybe we'll do this again when the new Chili Peppers album comes out.
Buy hesitation marks.
Yes, buy it.
Email Justin Shady your dirty limericks about the Spin Doctors and... any Photoshop jobs of him as the lead singer of the Spin Doctors.
And email ericroseart@gmail.com all of your Anthony Kiedis fan art. All right, thanks for listening. Man, this one's like 31 minutes.
You guys are troopers.
Yeah.
Although you'll never hear this.
Solid. Thanks for listening, Mom.